welcome to the program, y'all. Glad to have you tuning in today. We are at the last Friday of the month of July. We will see you next time in August. So, yeah, another month gone by. Summer is moving right along. And, yeah, here's some bad weather going on in five states. Some serious stuff going on. So we pray for those folks. You'll protect the folks and minister to them, help them through this time. Well, we want to be a blessing to you tonight, so hopefully what's going to be shared will bless you and minister to you. And I'm glad you're tuning in today, and we look forward to our time here in the Word of God and sharing the things of the Spirit with you. Hope you're doing all right. Hope that you're seeking the Lord with all your heart. We're going to open up with some news this evening. We start out. Pastor Greg Locke, senior pastor of Global Vision Church in Nashville, Tennessee, has repeatedly called COVID a hoax and has refused to comply with government mandates from public health officials. Oh, my. Poor, what a horrible, poor thing going on there. Oh, my. Defying the government health official. He said, don't believe this Delta variant nonsense, he said, this pastor. And if you start showing up with masks in this church, I will ask you to leave, he said. He said, I'm not playing these Democrat games up in this church. And he's a white guy, but if you want to be social distance, don't come here, he said. That's right. If you want to do social distancing, don't come to this church. Yeah, he says, I'm done with it. I ain't playing these stupid games, he said. The left has threatened to burn down his church, beat him, rape his wife and kids, murder him slowly, turn me over to the FBI and other government agencies, and ban his account. They don't like this pastor. And then go with the flow of the globalists and the Democrats and the people who are trying to destroy America. Well, he's being persecuted for being bold, so pray for Pastor Greg Locke, senior pastor of the Global Vision Church in Nashville. Amen. House passes spending bills that don't ban taxpayer funding of abortion. The bills omit pro-life measures. Pelosi and her House just want to make everybody pay for killing babies. That's what she's determined to do. Get everybody having a part of it, sacrificing to the devil these little ones. It's tragic. Absolutely. We pray against it in Jesus' name. Is it 60% or half of South Africans say prayers? Yeah, 60%, I think it was. 60% of South Africans say prayers are more effective against COVID-19 than vaccine study finds. Okay? Well, I would say, where are the praying people today? Why are the Christians all taking vaccines? If that's the case here in this country, what's happening? Eric Clapton won't play the news or concerts requiring a proof of vaccination. He said, do you want to be a free man or not? You know, he's just not going to play it either. He's not even a Christian. And so we see Max Lucado testing positive for COVID despite being vaccinated. Yeah. Well, you're not going to die from it. No, it has less than, 2% or 1% or less chance of anybody dying from it, unless they have physical problems already. And anyway, Max Lucado, he disliked and refused to support President Trump, and he tried to encourage people as Christians not to vote for President Trump, along with old Beth Moore and people like that that claim to be Christian. They'd rather support an abortionist than someone who hates the United States. and promotes the woke thing and all the garbage that's going on today. That's so much foolishness that's just out to tear down and destroy the way of life here in America, the way it's been, the freedom. Argentina allows gender X on passports nowadays. They also allowed on ID cards for people who reject identifying as male or female. Of course, Disney put out the first show with a, a gender X binary individual playing in the program. It's a cartoon, but it's binary individual. And non-binary Netflix star Tommy Dorfman announces after several years of identifying as a non-binary, he now identifies as a woman. He decided, well, I'm going to identify as a woman now. And this man has a recurring role on 15 Reasons Why, I believe, or 13 Reasons Why show, which I've never seen because I don't watch Netflix. But, yeah, oh, what a day we live in. What a day we live in. We have a binary. What's a binary? It's really, oh, God said he created us male and female, and that's just what the Bible says. And I think that God knows more than all these people put together know what they're talking about. I mean, really. And Kevin Sorbo, some of you know who he is. He's a Christian actor. Gained thousands of social media followers after criticizing Starbucks and the whole chain and the whole for making people wear masks and their mask mandates in their little Starbucks chain, which I would go to one anyway because they're a culty, in my opinion. But he also said the left has nothing but anger and hate in their lives, and they love destruction. He said they look for things to be offended about all the time. That's what Kevin Sorbo is saying. And they, of course, criticize Sorbo for his comments. Of course, they're always looking for something to be offended about or be critical of, right? So Senator Tom Cotton rebukes Biden nominee who called children an environmental hazard. That's right. Tracy Stone Manning, Biden's nominee for the Bureau of Land Management, says that children are an environmental hazard. So no wonder they want so much abortion garbage going on, because they just want to do away with the children. They don't want them around. Hello, every one of them was a child at one time. What if their parents had felt that way? None of them would have been born. None of them would have had a chance to receive Jesus or reject him, which it seems like most of them are doing. They're rejecting the true Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and embracing Satanism and Luciferianism and occultism. So what a day we're living in today. A disabled man in his powered wheelchair runs down and over from the backside. The preacher didn't see it coming. A preacher preaching in the street at an outside mall. He runs him down with his little wheelchair scooter thing and using all manner of profanities while he's doing it. Demon possessed, obviously. And he's screaming all these profanities at the preacher for preaching the gospel. And the preacher ignores the man and gets back up and continues preaching. Go for it, brother. Keep on preaching the truth out there. Don't let yourself be intimidated by no devil. Amen, because that's what you're dealing with. We're not dealing with flesh and blood. We're dealing with what's in control of people. Demons, fallen angels, things that get a hold and influence people, try to control them and speak through them and do bad things through them, do evil. Yeah. And they persecute Christians. And that's what happened here. This demonized guy comes and runs him over from the rear. He doesn't even get to stand, defend himself or anything. It's just, yeah, caught him by surprise. Well, we got goodness and mercy behind us. The Bible said goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. We will dwell in the house of our Lord forever. Thank you, Lord, for that. And thank you, Lord, for every listener to the program tonight. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We ask you to bless our time in the Word of God. As we go study your Word tonight and we preach the good news of the gospel, we preach the liberating message of freedom and truth by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you for those who do listen to this program and those who take the Word seriously in their lives and desire change, desire spiritual growth. Lord, we thank you for working in each of us. I thank you for great grace in our lives, Father. I thank you, Lord, for changing us, Lord, by the work of the Spirit working in our lives right now, Lord, that you work in us every day. And you promise that you'll always be with us even unto the end of the world. Yeah, hallelujah for that. Because we are indeed in times like we've not ever seen in our lifetime. And Lord, I know though that you're going to see us through these times and you're going to just continue to prepare us. Give us a grateful heart, Lord, that we will remember to praise thee every day, Father. And we would glorify your name continually. That we'd not be weary in well-doing. We'd not be weary in walking by faith and doing the good fight of faith and resisting the devil. Lord, give us the strength to go on and finish our course, every one of us, Father. Thank you for giving us health in these physical bodies, Father, that you said with a long life you will satisfy us and show us your salvation. We thank you for the scripture that says that. We thank you for the promise there in that scripture. And we claim that for us today, Father. We claim your word over our lives right now. We thank you, Lord, that you're working in us, Lord, right now. We thank you for refreshing us, renewing our strength, so that we'll run and not be weary. We'll walk and not faint. We'll stay in the race until the end, Father, that nothing will distract us or cause us to take one of those other roads out there that the enemy provides for Christians to go down and get them off course. Lord, we're not going to do that. We're going to stay on the straight and narrow, Father, by the grace of God. And we're going to grow up into Christ Jesus, our Lord, continually growing, desiring the pure milk of the Word and the meat of the Word and loving it, Father. But we love you, so therefore we love your Word, for your Word is a manifestation of you. And Lord, we just desire you to manifest in our lives, Father. In Jesus' name, refresh us, renew our strength tonight, Father. Bless our families. Let them all be saved and serving God. Any that aren't, Lord, we pray you deal with them until they come around and receive you completely in their lives, Father. We praise you for that. We praise you for the work, Lord, that you've called each one of us to do, Father. Give us the strength and the power to do the work. Whatever that work is that we do in our life, whatever we call to do, Lord, give us the strength to do it, Father, and lead us in the truth. Lead us into all that you have for us all. In Jesus' name, we cover the program with the blood of Jesus. Lord, we ask you to bless every Christian marriage here, Father, the people that are married and those who are single-looking, Father. We ask you to give them a godly mate, Father, if that's what they desire and they've asked of you. I will say, ask and it shall be given. Didn't say when, just said it will be given, so don't get impatient. Just wait on God. And he provides. If you ask in faith, believing, he can bring you that mate. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for these things. In the name of Jesus, everybody say amen. All right, amen. Praise God. We're ready. Hopefully you're ready. Walking in the light or not. That's the title. Or I could have just called it Walking in the Light. Walking in the light or not. That's the title tonight. We're going to get into it now. If you're ready, we prayed. And I'm ready. Hopefully you're ready. Let's get into this. You know, the church is playing Adam and Eve with each other sometimes, and even sometimes with God. What do you mean by that, Pastor? What do you mean? Well, I mean we try to hide as Adam and Eve did in the garden. That's right. We are not transparent and open with each other. Let me just illustrate by talking about an organization that certainly I don't support. And I'm not, by giving you an example from them, it doesn't mean I'm supporting them or recommending them. It's just that I'm using them as an example of, you know, they're, in some ways they set a better example than the church does. That they're not the church, so they're not saved, most of them. But the alcoholics who attend Alcoholics Anonymous are very open and transparent with one another. They are not performing when they come to the meeting. They do not try to be something that they're not when they meet together. You could go to an AA meeting and nobody expects you to be or do anything. You're perfectly welcome to be just who you are with no pretense. That's right. No matter how bad you are, no one is going to condemn you or judge you, but they all try to help you. And you can go into an AA meeting and say, oh, I really blew it yesterday. I got drunk again, and they will just forgive you and help you and care for you no matter how many times you fall back into the alcohol. Right? And so I tell you for a fact, if our churches would allow each other to be open and transparent and still love each other and not judge each other and tear each other up and attack each other, we could win so many more to Jesus and minister to so many more people. But see, the fact is, you would dare come into church and say, well, I fell into a drunkenness last night, or fornication last night, or I was looking at poor last night, or I did this or I did that. No, you would open yourself up to all kinds of criticism, judgment, and condemnation, and even just being isolated, because a lot of people wouldn't have anything to do with you if they told your story. Yeah. Well, I just got all drunk last night, right? Just fell into fornication and sexual sin and all. Hey, no. You're not going to do that at church. You don't want their criticism and judgment and condemnation. You don't need that, and you don't want it. So you're not going to tell them what you did, right? No. See, we can't be transparent in our churches today because we all have to pretend to be holy, righteous, and spiritual, and that we have it all together spiritually, right? That's what you see happening so many times, and I've visited so many churches. I've preached in a number of churches, too, over the years. And yeah, let's go to John 8:7. John 8:7. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Remember the woman called adultery. You remember the story, and Jesus said, whosoever is without sin. Well, no one was then, and no one is now, right? So nobody threw any stones at this woman. By the way, you know that a man or a woman who falls under temptation and commits fornication or some other sin, such as maybe drunkenness, is not necessarily a drunkard or a fornicator. Did you know that? A fornicator or a drunkard is a drunkard or fornicator by lifestyle. A liar is a liar by lifestyle. We've all lied. Does that make you a lifestyle liar? Does that make you one? Does that make you, I mean, if it does, you ain't going to heaven. Have you ever feared? Well, if getting in fear makes you fear the fearful, then you ain't going to heaven, right? According to Revelation, let's go read it. Revelation 21:8, it said, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. A fornicator mentality, a fearful mentality, a murderer identity. See, that's their identity, see? What's your identity as a believer in Jesus? Tell me. You know what your identity is? How many know what your identity is? It's not a fornicator. It's not a liar. Even though you've lied, even though you fornicated, even though you might have been an adulterer, you might have been all kinds of things, but that's not your identity. Your identity is saint of God in Christ Jesus, right? But see, there are people whose identity is a liar. That's not our identity, is it? Absolutely not. Our Bible tells us what our identity is. We are saints of God in Christ Jesus. And, you know, I have a new identity. So those who have these identities will be cast into the lake of fire. These people are going to hell, right? That's right. But it's not us, because that's not our identity. See, I hope that clears something up for some of you who have read that scripture and said, well, I've lied, I've done this, I've been a drunkard, I've done this. Yeah, but see, that's not your identity. This is these people's identity. Our identity is not that. So I hope that helps you, because all have fell into temptations at times. May not be these exact same ones, but you might have done some of them. See, so therefore you thought you were going to hell at times. But anyway, back into the church here, we have to act religious or pious, because we don't dare let people really know some of the things that are inside of us. Well, hey, listen, I know people have demons inside of them, so I'm not going to judge you for all these things that are still in you. But I know you go into some churches, they sure will. And they sure will want to give you the left foot of fellowship or the right foot of fellowship, whatever, the left foot to kick you on out of there, because and they'll see you out. I've been seen to the door too, because I rocked some religious boats in some churches, but yeah, that's okay. They needed rocking, but they wouldn't let them be rocked, see, because they're afraid. They're afraid. They want to do things their way, see. Yeah. Well, we don't dare let people know some of the things inside of us, right? We don't dare let them know some of the things we suffer in the flesh. I mean, we are all in the same plate, but nobody wants to admit it. We have to hide under the guise of a Christian code of conduct. Really? See, so what we have is a lot of Christians living in darkness who claim they're walking in the light. Are you walking in the light, or are you walking in the light and a measure of darkness? Well, let's find out, okay? Let's find out tonight. Look at 1 John chapter 1. Let's go over there. 1 John 1. Amen. And let's read verse 5 through 7. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, and he is in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Do you see that? Now, what does this mean to you? Many people think that, many Christians think it means to walk in the light is to have no sin in your life. Wrong. That's not what it means. Or no habits, or no habitual sin in their life. Wrong again. Why could this not be true? Because what did he just say? If we walk in the light, the blood continually cleanses us from what? All sin. That's right. Cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. See? So if you ain't sinning, brother or sister, what sin is the blood cleaning you from? Huh? So let's look at this this way. See, if you're in darkness, you can't see. In a dark room, nothing is visible, right? But if you turn on the light, what happens? Immediately, you I see everything. You see the good, the bad, the ugly. You see the beautiful antiques on the stand over there, as well as the roaches crawling around for cover on the floor when you turn the light on. You see the nice new stuff, as well as the cracks in the ceiling or the stains on the walls or the ceiling. So when you're walking in the light, then you see all the good changes that God is doing in your life, but you also see all your imperfections. You see your faults, the bad habits, you see the failures, you see your demon. That's right. You see sin, you see stuff that still needs to be overcome. You see your need for spiritual growth in your life. Everything's revealed when you're walking in the light. But the problem is, a lot of Christians are walking in twilight. They've been watching too much twilight shows and stuff like that. Yeah, no, but you know, they just walking in a measure of the light, but they're not going to walk in the full light. See? But see, when you really walk in the light, you'll always be humbled when you walk in the light. Why? Because no matter how much you see that God has done, there are still so many other things you see that still need God's transforming power in your life. And you know that you can't do it without him. You know that you need him. Right? Oh, yeah, let's go to another scripture here now. Let's go to Philippians 3. Philippians 3, we'll read verse 16 through 21. 16, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Paul talking here. For many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. What does that mean, whose God is their belly? That means they're living by their emotions rather than by the word of God and the spirit of God. And how many people in the churches today are living by their emotions, and they're not following the word of God, they're following their emotions and what feels right to them. And his glory is in their shame. Who mind earthly things, that means sensual, earthly. For our conversation, our manner of life is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that we may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So his working, he can do that. And he is working in us. If we allow it and we walk in the light, he's doing that. He's working and subduing things unto himself. But, you know, a lot of Christians refuse to walk in that light. They will willfully remain in darkness because they don't want the light to shine on their pride, their sins, the stuff that they're holding on to, and so they hold on to them, so they live in the darkness. And yet, in the wonders of walking in the light, we're always allowing ourselves to be exposed and transparent to God. Through his blood, continually, it cleanses us. See? Yeah, then his blood continually is cleansing us from all our sin, because we are transparent and open to him with whom we have to do, the Bible says. And we can have pure fellowship one with another, knowing that none of us are yet perfected. None of us yet never sin. None of us yet have everything totally together, but we are continually cleansed by the blood of Jesus. So we're all in the same boat, folks. We're not superior one to one another. And when Christians act that way, they act superior and judgmental of one another like that. What are they doing? They're showing their immaturity. They're showing that they're walking in some darkness there, but they're not seeing it all, right? So you no longer have to hide or perform Christianese just to be you. No, just be you in God. We're all in the same boat. What does the scripture tell us? Look at 1 Peter 5:9. Yeah, 1 Peter 5:9, as we just see that we're all in the same boat. I know we're not all at the same place in the boat, but we're all in the same boat. 1 Peter 5:9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Right? Same stuff going through. They're going through. Our brothers and sisters in the world are dealing with this stuff, dealing with the attacks of the enemy. Same affliction, same temptation, same difficult time. See, not an excuse to sin, but a knowing that God still accepts us, see? Now, don't take this as an excuse to sin. No, you already sin enough as it is, right? So don't make an excuse for more sin. That's what some people do. They sin a little bit, and then they think, well, I've already sinned. God disappointed me. I might as well just go all the way and sin some more. That's just ignorant. I mean, why would you do that? Why would you dig a deeper hole, open your door for more demons in your life than you already have by doing something like that? But some people, that's just the way the devil works on their mind and tells them, well, you've already messed up. You might as well just go on and mess up more because you just messed up anyway. Really? You know where that's coming from. Really? Recognize it. Have discernment to see where that's coming from. So, hey, we're free to be who we are, like an AA, and not be condemned. We could take that example from AA. I know there's some bad things about AA. I'm not exalting AA, but there is some good things about it. We're all going through stuff. As we grow in grace, everybody's growing, and everybody's going through something as we grow in grace, not in law. The Bible says that we grow under grace, not under law. You don't grow under law. Under law, you won't grow. Okay? And so, I mean, that's just the way it is. And yeah, it's a ministration of death, not a ministration of life, the Bible says. But anyway, let's go to Philippians again and read again. Philippians 2. Yeah. Amen. Let nothing be done, verse 2-3. Well, let's read 2 and 3. Fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Walking in the light, we can still love God, love ourselves, and love each other, knowing that he's working in us and will continue to work in us, dealing with our ugly and bad areas, right? Which all of us have areas that need filthy change. Let's not fool ourselves. Until we're transformed in these areas, we can just continue to love God and love each other and love ourselves as God would have us to. And we can even love those who are in their religious or pious so-called spiritual pride don't walk in the light like we do. They choose to live in darkness and walk in darkness, saved but not walking in the light, as you and I are. Yes, in the light, we're aware of our faults, we're aware of our failures, but we know they are forever cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And we're not carrying our pride, and we're not carrying condemnation and guilt, because we're in the light, hallelujah. But the problem is for many, they started in the light, but they're now in darkness, and the darkness has seduced them to some degree, and now they don't see because the light is not being allowed to shine in their life. They choosefully, willfully are choosing not to let the light shine. Folks, self-deception is like this. And I see people today that are believers, but they have not been in the Word of God like they need to be. They've not been in the Word. They've not had their daily manna. The daily manna is missing. So they begin to let the darkness slip in, and they slip out of the light little by little so that they still think that they're living in the light, but they're actually not, at least not fully like they were supposed to be and like they may have been at one time. Look at Hebrews 2:1. I mean, 2:1, yeah, 2:1. Hebrews 2:1, turning pages here, getting over to the location. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip or fall away, or the actual word means leak out. That's right, leaking, leak out. How many leaking things do we have today? See, slipping. Some are slipping and have let the word and the truth slip out of focus in their lives, and they live in a mixture. A mixture is not good. God said be single-minded, not double-minded, not triple-minded, not quadruple, drupal-minded. He said be single-minded, friends. So what's happening here? A mixture of true doctrine. And the demons, oh, they love a mixture. Demons' doctrine, they mix it with true doctrine. And the demons love it. Therefore, these believers are mixed up, right? They're not the same as they used to be. They're mixed. They have a mixture going on, and the mixture doesn't work in the kingdom. It doesn't bring forth any fruit of the Spirit. Flip also means to run out, as in leaking, right? So some people have leaked out, and demons have moved in to that empty space there. And I know that's a sad thing to have to say about people, but, you know, it's just the case, and I've seen it happen. Some folks have just leaked out. And not all who are in the church are the true church either, by the way. They have flipped. They have leaked out, and something else has moved into the place the Holy Spirit should be filling and leading them in. Evil spirits, you know, they're pretty patient. And they're patient in their evil work, and they continue to do their evil work little by little by little by little. They don't have to get it all done at once. They often take years and decades even to bring a person to where they want them to be. But they're persistent. They're persistent. I wish Christians would be more persistent too, because they're not. And they seem to get weary. They get off base. They slip and they leak. I've seen it happen in the slipping process. Yeah, that's what we call it, because we just read it here in Hebrews. It's the slipping process. Those who were once full of God and on fire and filled and fresh, now spirits have done their evil work. And now these same ones are self-deceived, deceived and carnal and don't read their Bibles and they quit praying in tongues. And they were once baptized in the Spirit, but they don't ever pray in the Spirit anymore. They stop believing God for signs, wonders, and miracles. And the world has slipped on by, and the law of old attractions has taken them over in areas of their lives, which we'll cover that in a minute, because I taught that last Sunday at the church, the law of old attraction. And I think I need to teach it here on the radio tonight, and hopefully people from our church that listen to the program will also be able to appreciate that you all need to hear it. Amen. Amen. And so, yeah. So the law of old attraction has taken them over in areas of their life, which, we're going to have to cover this in some detail here. Because I feel that it's a needful thing, and usually I don't preach it hardly ever the same message that I preach at church here on the radio, but it's kind of important, I think. I kind of sense it in the spirit, so somebody hear it. So we need to be aware of the operation of old attraction here. And how many know that demons don't leave just because you got saved? Oh, they leave your spirit because Jesus, the Holy Spirit, comes and lives in the spirit, their spirit, but they don't leave the person. They just move into the soul, the mind, will, and the emotion. Or the body. I got saved. No more problems. No, that is a fantasy, folks. Your problems are just beginning. You're now a primary target of the enemy. You're a prime target of the enemy. Plus, you will have to deal with the demons still in you, or they will attempt to cause you to leak out or slip, or use the law of old attraction to cause you to slip. No, your battles have just begun after salvation. However, the newborn in Christ will have it sometimes very easy for the first year or so, because they're little lambs, and God says in the scriptures about carrying the little lambs tenderly and stuff, and God carries them gently, but that's not always going to be that way. It's not always going to be the case. Just like the mama eagle forces the little eaglet, the little baby eaglet, out of the nest and throws him out, basically, and he has to learn to fly while he's dropping, and she'll swoop down under him and pick him up if he's almost going to hit the ground. And I believe the Holy Spirit will, too, with the baby, Christian. So just like the little eaglet being pushed out of the nest so that the Lord say, okay, now, time to be weaned off the bottle and start taking some meat. Start battling the enemy, start maturing in Christ, start realizing that we're going to spend our life wrestling not with flesh and blood, but with principalities, powers, wicked spirits, all these things that we got to deal with in life as a Christian. Right. So start the growth process. You're not a baby anymore. And some can't take it and they fall away. It's like the parable says, right? If they haven't already fallen away, they will fall away, some of them. And let's read it. Let's just go refresh ourselves on this parable, folks, because I see this happen. so many times as I've been a pastor all these years, 30-something years, and I've seen it happen. Seen it happen and still happening to people. It hasn't quit happening. Matthew 13:3. It says that he spoke of these things unto them in a parable, saying, behold, the sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up. Fowls speak to demons. How many know that demons will steal the word right out of them when the seed of God is into some people's life? It gets stolen away by the fowls. The fowls come, the dirty birds come and devour them up. And some fall upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of the earth, though. And when the sun was up and they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Now, how many Christians like that today? They start out okay, you know, and they start to grow in, and then somehow it just all stops. They're on the stones. They're on the rocks, and they're not building on the solid rock, Jesus. And so the sun beats down on them, the pressures of life, the heat of the enemy breathing on them. And what happens? Yeah, they withered away. They had no root. They didn't dig deep enough. They weren't in good ground. They just had no good ground. And some Christians, they don't get in the good ground. And they can get in the good ground, but they don't. And they sometimes just choose not to. And that's sad and that's tragic. And moving on here, and some fell among the thorns. And the thorns sprung up and choked them. Yeah, there are thorns in life that will choke people. They let them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let them hear. See, time to listen, folks. Hear what Jesus is saying here. There are those who are going to just be choked. There are going to be those who have no root in them. And there will be some that the fowls of the air, the demons, come and just devour. Because they're just not going to walk on with the Lord. And some might last longer than others, but they just don't get into good ground and grow. And they need to go to the good ground. The devils are not going to just stand around and let you flourish without a fight, folks. You need to know that being a Christian is conflict and will be till Jesus comes. You got to know that. It's not going to end. The conflict doesn't end until Jesus comes back. Are we aware of that today? Well, we need to be aware of that today. So that's why I'm saying it's so important. Yes, there is a long-term growth process, and we need to set ourselves up for that long-term growth process. And God is going to continue working on it until he comes back. But do people go from the cradle to being a top executive or a major league ball player or whatever in a week, or a commercial pilot in just a week or two, or even overnight? No, they don't. And do Christians usually go from babyhood to mature Christian in a day or a couple of weeks? No, they don't go that way. It takes time. There's a growth process. There's a learning process. And how many know children often rebel against learning? Yes, they do. Christians, do they do that? Yes, Christians do that. Have you done that? Probably have, right? And so to keep growing, we're all going to have to learn to void the laws of old attractions and void out those old attractions in our lives. See, we can grow, right? But we're going to have to void the old attractions out. What have you been attracted to in the past, my friend? Well, some people have been attracted to porn in the past. Hey, you got to void that old attraction out. See? Some of you have been attracted to illicit relations, sexual relationships. Some of you have been attracted to alcohol and weed and all these different things in the world, the power, ungodly greed and pride. What have you been attracted? Some of you have been attracted to ungodly music or to recreation, and you've made it an idol in your life. Some have been attracted to your old attraction as being fearful and worrying and distrustful. Yes, that's right. Some people won't let go of the old attraction of a certain person. That's right. There's some people that are so have an old attraction to somebody that they never give that up, and they just keep wanting to be back with that old person, whoever that person was. See? Yeah, worrying. You have an old attraction there with a problem with the worrying, a distrustful old attraction, the drug, the lust, the sex, the part from your mate, the lies. You have the old attraction that needed to be voided of taking lies and lying to others. Or how about religion? That's an old need to void that one off. Legalism, rebellion, being in control, the law of attraction of confusion, gambling, disappointment, hatred, unforgiveness, that the old attraction to living in unforgiveness and bitterness that you used to before you were saved, and then you quit it for a while, and then you didn't void the old attraction, the law of the old attraction, and they start coming back up in your life. See? The hurt, the old attraction to hurt, is living as a hurt person, a victim person, disillusioned person, living in disillusionment. What can erase Satan's programming? What can help void all these old laws of attraction here in our lives? What can do that? Well, let's go to Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. How does that take place? Through the Word of God. See? Through the Word of God. Renewing of the mind. What renews the mind? The Word of God transforms us, as it is quickened to us by the Spirit of the living God. And then we are changed from glory to glory, from faith to faith. See, if your mind is renewed by the Word, it will begin to erase the devil's programming. The old attraction can be cast out or removed. Remember the 2 Corinthians. Remember it. The Spirit of God is working on us. But we all with open faith, beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord, is changing the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. See, we're being changed. And that will help void these old attractions. And how do we see the glory of God? Again, we see it. We can look into His Word, and we will see it. We will behold Him through the glass of His glorious Word, and it be like not as good as we're going to see Him someday, but still, you can get some pictures of it. Anyone who downplays or ignores the Word of God or puts little emphasis on the Word of God, they are deceived. Any pastors that put little emphasis on the Word of God, any churches that put little emphasis on the Word of God, they put little emphasis on the King James Version of the Bible, they put little emphasis on the things that are really going to make a difference in their lives, then, hey, these people are deceived, see, and being led by the demons. Some churches today, they ignore the Bible. They might use one scripture, put it up on the screen, and then you don't hear no more Bible through the whole message. You don't hear anymore. No. There are other people belittle and mock the King James Version today, and they use some watered-down, marked-out edition of Bible that doesn't do anything for them. I mean, how many times has the devil reminded you of something that you did in the past and beat you with it, or entice you with it? He'll either beat you with it or he'll entice you into it again. See, that's the law of old attraction. That old attraction is calling you. He's attempting to, or doing it, what? Activating the law of old attraction. See, did you used to feel guilty all the time? That is an old attraction, and it will activate again. The enemy will continue to try to use it against you throughout your whole life if you don't void it out. Some people never, ever seem to get out of the old attraction. That's right. It's their lifestyle, even as a believer. See, they carry it on into their Christian life, and they never seem to void out those old attractions. And some people, their personality remains the same after they get born again. their character doesn't improve. They just continue under the old attraction, even though they're born again in their spirit, but they're not letting anything happen in other areas of their life. You didn't void it out. Did it keep you in poverty? You need to void the law of poverty. That's part of the curse. Poverty, sickness, and death is a curse. So why would we want to live under that old attraction anymore? What about the law of grumbling? Do you get up every morning, you murmur, you grumble, you complain, you criticize others, you gossip about them and slander them? What kind of law do you need to void out? What kind of old attraction do you need to void out? Maybe you murmured and complained and criticized people and grumbled before you were saved. And you just carry that old attraction right on into your Christianity, and it's still going on today. Hey, you need to avoid that law of that old attraction. The law of a new creation needs to, it voids the law of hell, of going to hell. There's no way I can go to hell now. Okay? I mean, as a Christian, there's no way. But do some Christians still fear hell and fear that they're thinking they've committed the unpardonable sin, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? Yes, they do, see? Because the old laws are not voided yet by the renewing process, which is empowered and carried out by the Spirit of God as we stay in the Word of God. And that's been so important that you stay in the Word of God. This is not a day that we can leave out the Word of God in our Christianity. We need to avoid these old attractions, and the way to do it is stay in the Word of God, get to warfare with the enemy, not put up with him and his ways in our life. See? So the old love, and so many Christians are not voided by the renewing process, and it needs to be. What about the law of Moses? Keeping the law, that put a veil over your eyes very quickly, the Bible said. Go to 2 Corinthians. Here 3, where we already are. If you haven't turned your page, you're still in 2 Corinthians. But let's look at 2 Corinthians 3, verse 13. 3, verse 13. It says, as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. What? To the end of that which is abolished? What is that talking about? Verse 14, it says, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth blinded. Now, they remain blinded, the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done only away. It's only done away in Christ, see? It's only done away in Christ. See, a lot of people, they read the Bible like the Jews. The veil is over their eyes. They read it, and the veil is not going to be removed except through Jesus Christ. See, the law of Moses is removed from the attracting us, from attracting us when we see the law of Jesus. What is the law of Jesus? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. See, it has redeemed us from the law of sin and death. Well, the law of sin and death come under the law because the Bible says right here that the law is a ministration of death. Look at 3 verse 7. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, what's written and engraven in stones? It's the Ten Commandments. It was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. Notice the law is done away as a means of righteousness. It's done away for that purpose. It cannot do that. It cannot save you, because no one can keep it perfectly. You have to keep the law perfectly if you're going to, totally fulfill the law. That's why Jesus came to fulfill the law, because no one ever had done it before. So how, verse 8, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious or more glorious than the ministration of death, which was written and engraven in stone? We don't need a ministration of death. We need a ministration of life, a ministration of grace, a ministration of peace. For if the ministration, verse 9, of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Well, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus through grace and truth, right? Came through grace and truth. Right now, we're living in the administration of life, not the ministration of condemnation. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation in Romans 8:1. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness. So why would somebody that has no condemnation go back under something that's full of condemnation? The law is full of condemnation. So if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. So see, it's way more glorious. You see that? What Jesus did, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law came by Moses, the Bible said. Oh, hallelujah. So often, his glory is concealed or veiled in this world by a fleshly religious mind, by a legalistic mind, by the law. His grace and mercy are concealed by a harsh and critical and legalistic mind that thunders right out of Mount Sinai and is full of death, the ministration of death, right? And his gift of righteousness, though, through grace of Jesus, is concealed by the tree of knowledge of good and evil, manifesting good works, see, and self-effort, which is what a lot of Christians spend their whole time of Christianity being, is being mostly in the tree of knowledge of good, see? They try to do the good of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but they avoid the tree of life, Jesus, where, see, the liberty, the glorious liberty of the sons of God in the tree of life. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you're going back under doing things, see? Oh, it may be good you're doing, but hey, you're good doing from that tree isn't going to do you any good, see? Because it's not the right tree in the first place, see? So, come on, folks. See, good work, self-effort, outward laws, regulations, that's what the tree of knowledge of good and evil has. And people think, well, if I just try harder, do more, do better, yeah, I'll get better someday. I'll just keep at this. Well, no, you can't ever get better on your own. Not much, anyway. See? Because God is the one that works the change in us. God is the one that works the mighty works in us. See? So his real power is concealed by soulish, fleshly, religious experiences, exercises, and rituals, and ceremonies, and programs, and promotions. And the Bible says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. See, the veil that hides the new life is upon our mind. And we need to have the veil removed through grace and truth, through being born again, and then let the grace and truth cause the renewing process to take place. And we begin to see now, hey, I'm not that being. I don't have to live off the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I'm not under the law anymore. I'm under grace and truth. I'm hidden in Christ today. I don't live under the ministry of condemnation. I live under the ministration of life. See? The veil is lifted through the Spirit, through grace and faith and truth. Hallelujah. With the veil, we only see him through the trappings of religion, of traditions and creeds and doctrines and Hail Marys and doing the penance and, you know, taking the rosary and praying the rosary and all this garbage, right? All these things that are opposite of the tree of life, opposite of the liberation in Christ Jesus, the liberty, the glorious liberty of the sons of God. It's opposite of that, right? These concepts of men and of demons who only knew him after the flesh and after the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Most Christianity, though, is based on this tree, unfortunately. And we should all seek to know him, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, because he is Spirit. God is Spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So we feed on the spiritual tree, which is Christ Jesus, the tree of life. We feed on the tree of life, not the tree of not the carnal tree, the tree of good works and bad things, bad works. We don't want that. That's the wrong tree. He told us in the garden, you stay away from that tree. The devil was in that tree. And he's still telling you today, stay away from that tree. But why did Christians keep going back to that tree and just say, well, we're eating the good of that tree. So it's okay. We're doing these good works for you, Lord. And the Bible says all our righteousness is filthy rags. The only good that God does to us is the good that he does to us, that he empowers us to do by the Spirit of God in us. There's none good but God. The Bible says there's none good but God. So the only good that we can do is the good that he does through us. Amen. Empowered by the Spirit of God dwelling in our spirit, the born-again spirit that we have. So you see how these things work, my friend. Absolutely. We are the liberated ones, and we need to continue living that way and not go back under, oh, I'm going to join this Hebrew works movement, Hebrew roots movement. Well, they really have it together, man. They're doing all these feast days. They're keeping all the laws, and none of them can keep it. It's just all the facade. Not one of them can keep that law perfectly, and they know it, and we know it. If you have any spiritual maturity at all, you know you couldn't do it, and you know they can't do it either. Okay. Oh, boy, if I just keep this Sabbath and do this and keep all the holy days and all these different things, then, man, I'll be all tight with God, man. You'd be all tight with God? No, you'd be tight with the works of the flesh. You'd be tight with doing all these good works and thinking you're really condoning yourself to God, but that's not what condones you to God. What condones you to God is the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus, we are made, you know, clean, and we are one with him. He that's born of the Lord is one spirit with God. He that is joined to him. Oh, yeah. What did he do in Colossians 2:14? He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. See, hey, the law was against you. It was a ministration of death. It brought you to Christ. It made you aware of your sin. It made you know you were the filthy, dirty, rotten sinner because you saw that you'd broken the law. But then what happened? He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or in the new moon or of the Sabbath days. They don't go getting all up in there about the Sabbath days and just all caught up in that. Well, I better keep the Saturday. I better do this. I better do that or I'm going to go to hell. Now, that's just deception, folks. He said, let no man judge about it, which are just simply, what are they? It says, verse 17, they're just a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. See, we're the body of Christ. These things are just a shadow of things to come. Yeah. Let no man beguile you, it says in verse 18. And a lot of people are trying to beguile you that you're just not a good Christian because you're not keeping all these laws, all these feast days perfectly and keeping a Sabbath day, Saturday, and all this different stuff. And you're still reading Paul's books, which they wish weren't in the Bible. And they kind of say, oh, those books are wrong. A lot of these Hebrew roots people say that. And they try to discount Paul. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And this is what's happening, because they're puffed up in their fleshly mind and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. See, we need to be increasing with the increase of God. Now we're doing all these things out of our fleshly minds and doing all these different works and trying to earn our way to God. Think we're going to get brownie points that way. No, we get brownie points because we're blessed of the Lord who made heaven and earth because we're born again and we walk by faith. Faith pleases God, not all the fleshly work that people are trying to do to condone themselves to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We must know that the processing of God to remove the things that prevent the life of Jesus from shining forth in glory and power through our lives sometimes require the dealings of the Lord, sometimes the heavy dealing of the Lord in purging and deep prunings and chastisement and correction and deliverance and uncompromising truth and the blast of the refiner's fire. Yes, baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. What is the fire for? It's to burn up all the impurities in our lives. To burn up all the impurities in our lives. The things that need to go. We said, yes, Lord, fire, fire, fire. Well, yeah, you know what you're asking for, right? Yeah, the Bible says that we will be brought into correction. And how does he bring us into correction? Well, let's get to go read it here. Hebrews 12, remember what it says to us. What it says to us. But he, for our profit, will chastise us, as we see in verse 10 of chapter 12 here. For the earthly father chastens as to their pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous, nevertheless, afterwards, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Lift up your hands, amen? And the feeble knees, and get focused on him, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. But let rather it be healed. See, some people have gotten lame. They started walking in a major darkness. They got lame and they turned out of the way today. Don't let that happen to you. Instead, just let it be healed. Amen. Straight path. Remember, narrow is the path that leads to salvation. Narrow is the path. Make straight path for your feet, lest it be lame and turned out of the way. Some people are being turned out of the way. They're turning out of the way. But instead, you let it be healed. Don't get bitter. Some people get bitter because nobody's paying them any attention. Nobody's loving them like they want to be loved. Nobody's catering to them like they want to be catered to. So they get lame and they turn out of the way. Because that which is lame in their life, that unforgiveness, it tells them to turn out of the way. See? Something happens and they turn out of the way. Right? And don't let your lameness turn you out of the way. Don't let that old attraction in your life turn you out of the way. Amen. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness be making you lame, it troubles you, and thereby many be defiled. Amen. So we endure chastening. Verse 7. For whom the Lord loveth, verse 6, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth, every daughter whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. So praise God for the chastening of the Lord, folks. Praise God, because how does he chasten us? Does he come around with some big old stick and beat us up with it? No. He doesn't come around beating his people with a stick. That's not how he chastens us. No, the Bible says the word of God is profitable for correction, instruction, and righteousness. He'll use the word, folks. He uses his word to bring correction into our lives. So many people think wrong on that. They said, oh, God just had to beat me over the head with a baseball bat to get my attention. Well, that's not the way God works, okay? He's not doing that. He uses his word. The word is not going to be him beating you over the head all the time. That's the way some people think of God. They think he's just a mean God up there looking for fault with them all the time. No, he's looking at the blood of Jesus in your life. That's why you're not consumed, because he feeds your blood. And the Bible said, like we read earlier, the blood cleanses you from all sin. Now, why is it cleansing me from all sin? Because you have sin. If you say we don't sin, then the truth is not in us, right? So he says the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. That means we're still sinning at times. See? He wouldn't say it cleanses us from all sin if we've been cleansed once from all sin. We don't sin anymore, like some people might think. But no, we do still sin. And his blood cleanses us from all sin. And God will bring us into correction before we reach full maturity, because that helps us to reach maturity. Remember, the flesh is at enmity with Christ. So God will make war against that which is fleshly, carnal, ungodly, reprobate, at enmity with him. The world, the flesh, and the devil in us, until he has melted all that arrogance into humility and all that self-rule. And self has died off. Hallelujah. So that's why it's so important to avoid these old attractions in our lives. They keep crying out for attention. Sometimes it's a soul tie with somebody that you have. And that old attraction hasn't been voided out, and you keep being drawn in. Drawn into that individual. Drawn into a relationship with them. That old attraction keeps pulling you back. See? You've got to avoid that law of the old attraction. You've got to avoid it out. Kind of avoid that old way you thought before you were a Christian. It keeps rising up again and keeps bringing you into bondage. See, you just didn't get rid of some things when you became a Christian. You carried them over into your Christian life. Those old attractions are still working in you. You were attracted at one time to living a life in fear, and now you're still living your life in fear. You've got to void out that law of the old attraction. That fear cannot be a dominant force in your life anymore. That old attraction has to be voided out. And we have to fill it with what the Word says about us, that God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And that's our new point of living reference. That's where we live from. We don't go back every time that old attraction rises its ugly head up, and then we just get so attracted to it, and we let that fear dominate us again. And here we go again, the same old repetitious thing. We just keep on repeating these old ways because the old attractions keep on dominating our lives. Yeah, we don't want to let that happen. Amen. Remember, chastening, discipline, scourging, purging, and refining are all a vital part of the process of growing up into Christ. And it's not meanness either, but it helps in removing the laws of old attraction. See? He will smash all our religious idols if we'll let him, and all the things of this world and our flesh that we treasure more than we treasure him and his will and his way, even though, okay, oh, I love you, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. But then that old attraction, we just jump right back into it when it rises up. That old, same old way of thinking, oh, they're all talking about me, they hate me, they don't like me, nobody loves me, I'm so rejected, they all are my enemies, and these old attractions just rising up, and you just go back and revert back to those things, and those spirits come in, and they just dominate your life, because, hey, they haven't left yet, because that old attraction still has an attraction to you. Amen, and some people do get delivered from them, and then that old attraction rises up, and they come back in, those spirits come back in, see. And some people are still in bondage because of that. They keep letting them come back in. They get delivered. They let them come right back because of the old attraction. See, that's an old familiar territory. That's why we got all these oldie-goldie channels, right? They listen to the oldies, and something's activated within them, that old attraction that they had, that old flame maybe was the attracting point, or maybe it was drugs or alcohol or some time at the party or when they were partying and those old songs. They activate the law of old attraction, and they haven't voided that out, see? It's still in there, and they get attracted to that. Again, and it becomes a snare to the soul. Isaiah 64, verse 8. Isaiah 64, verse 8. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art potter, and we are the work of thy hand. See, this is the way it's supposed to work. We need to let ourselves be the work of his hand, not let us be the work of that old attraction, not let us fall and slipping back into that old attraction, that old attracting way of thinking that we still haven't voided out. See, we've got to void out that law of that thing. We've got to void out the strength of that thing. We've got to let it be gone from our lives. We don't let it be the dominant force anymore. But see, what happens? We don't recognize it's a dominant force so much of the time. We don't recognize it's a dominant force. And see, the childish, immature mind sees instruction and correction as its enemy, right? I mean, the child will grumble and rebel against correction by the parents because of his inexperience and ignorance. And, you know, we're just the children of God, recognize what we are. And the child, just like a child of a parent on earth, he can't see the overall purpose. Children can't see why they have to go to bed or why they have to take a bath or why they have to brush their teeth. Hell, if they don't brush their teeth, they all rot out, right? I mean, you got to brush your teeth, child, right? We there's some things that God says, you know, by the Spirit of God, you go this way. And those who just refuse to rebel and say, well, why can't I go play in the devil's courtyard? Why can't I go play in the street, mommy? And they don't go play in the street. And what do you see them doing? Here they are going out into the street, right? Yeah. Why is it necessary to share, mommy? I don't want to share my stuff. And they don't. And they don't do this. They don't do that. They do what they want. And children fail to see or perceive the beauty of correction. But the Bible says if you're without correction or chastisement, you're a bastard child. You don't want to be a bastard child. You want to be a bastard child. I don't want to be one. And to God, in God, we're not going to be one because we're going to receive his chastisement. The chastisement, how? By the Word of God. The Word of God is profitable for rebuke, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. He loves us, and he's going to correct us in the way that was really going to profit us and bring about change through his word. See, I mean, you've all had that kind of correction, haven't you? You heard the word through somebody on the radio, and man, wow, I know that God must be dealing with me on that. And then you go and somebody at work mentions it, and oh, man, wow, again. And you begin to be dealt with more, and then you go to church, and some preacher's talking about that, or you turn on the radio, some preacher's talking about it, and man, the Spirit of God is working to have a correction into your life, and you're saying, yes, I need to let you deal with that, Lord. I need to get that demon out. I need to let that area of my life come into correction and be changed, and no longer let that old attraction have a dominant place in my life anymore, because it's done enough damage all these years, and I don't want to let it do any more damage. It's time to stop. And you get brought in by the Word of God, see? The Word of God is profitable for rebuke, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. See? Oh, hallelujah. And you as a parent, you're shaping children's character for their future, to have purpose, that dignity, to raise their own families and someday as they, when they grow up, see? And so for us to be raised by the Father, he's maturing us in his love for us, that we would mature and grow up into Christ in all things, as it says in Ephesians, and grow up into Christ in Ephesians chapter 4. He wants us to grow up into Christ and begin to be like Christ more and more than we are like the old fleshly nature that we've been most of our lives, see? We're changing from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God working in us. See, just say, I submit myself to your working, Holy Spirit. See, like we read in 2 Corinthians 3:18, we're changed even as by the Spirit of God. So I just submit myself to your working, Holy Spirit, in me. See, do that. Just say it out loud. I submit to your working, Holy Spirit. Change me. Yeah, you're doing it. Thank you for doing that in me, doing what I can't do, changing what I can't change. See, when the course is finished, you know, children should rise up and call their parents blessed, right? And thank you for what you've done in their life, for speaking in their life and correcting them as they grew up. And they may not have liked it at the time, but man, if it's done in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as we're commanded to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, then the children will rise up and call you blessed. And so if we let the Lord do his good work in us and raise us up, and we're just going to praise him and worship him. We should be praising him and worshiping for the good work he's doing in us. The Bible said he's going to work in us until the day of Jesus Christ. Until the day of the return of Jesus Christ, it says that he's going to just keep on working that good work in us. And so we just need to submit to that work, see? What does it say? It says being confident of this very thing, Philippians 1:6, this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, the day of Christ, his return. He's going to keep performing his work in you. He's doing it. He's performing it. Quit going to the tree of knowledge of good and evil and trying to perform it all yourself. Start feeding on the tree of life. The more you feed on the tree of life, the more there's going to be a manifestation of the working of the Spirit in your life. Instead of you trying harder and you doing all the work and you trying to get rid of your bad habits and stop lusting and stop doing this and stop doing that because you're eating of the good of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, trying to make all this happen on your own ability. Hey, you're going to go sit like Mary at the feet of Jesus. Mary has chosen the right thing Jesus said about her. She's sitting at my feet. It shall not be taken from her. You feed on the tree of life. You've chosen the right thing. It shall not be taken from you. Amen? Amen. Yeah, that's it. See? Oh, yeah. But before that maturity comes, they're a mighty conflict. And so it is in the church today. The Lamb is warring against the beast of the flesh. So when these old attractions get a hold of you, that means Satan still has a foothold somewhere in your life, and that your mind has not been renewed in that area, and that God wants to deal with you in that area. He's wanting to help you through. See, Christians, when you begin to serve Jesus and you have troubles, it's not because you started doing new sins. No, it's because that you do some of the old sins again. Perhaps some of the old attractions have popped back up, see, Oh, you had it great for the first year as a Christian. God was carrying you gently, and you were shielded from so much. But now it's time to grow, and why is this coming up? Why am I wanting to do this? Why am I being attracted to that? I thought that was gone a year ago when I got born again. Now why is this coming up? See? So, right. There's no new anger. It's the old anger. Attraction, see? There's no new fear. It's that old fear rising up again. There's no new discouragement. It's that old demon of discouragement, that old attraction that hasn't been voided out, see? It must be cast out, the mind renewed, and correction by the Word and the Spirit of God must take place, see? To deal with the old attraction. Voiding out these old attractions is an important part of our life as a Christian, and we need to pay some attention to this, see? Because otherwise we're going to keep repeating so many things that have been with us all of our lives when by now some of these things need to have fallen off and be cast out or whatever, but this should not be a part of your life anymore. It's not supposed to still be that old attraction coming up and having so much power over you, so much strength in your life that it's able to paralyze you back into something that, you know, why am I doing that? You know, why am I thinking this way still? Certain people have certain ways of thinking that's just they've thought that way all their life, but it's not the biblical way of thinking. It's not God's way of thinking. It's not the mind of Christ. It's the mind of the flesh, see? But see, it's an old attraction. It's been with you. It's an old friend, so to speak. Well, I would keep my old friends around, but how many know your old friends might be devils? Why would you want to keep the devils around? See, will you decide today to break off the old laws of attraction in your life and let God bring you into correction and get your mind renewed regularly by your word, spending time in the word? Yeah, now is the time for that. I mean, what are you waiting for on this? I tell you, God had me bring this message to you. I preached it last Sunday at church on the old attraction, not all of what I taught tonight, but I did teach some of this at church last Sunday, and I felt in my spirit it needed to be said on the radio too. And normally I don't preach the same message that I preach at church on the radio, but I felt like this needed to be brought out, that it would be a blessing and that it would deal with some things. We may not like it dealing with us. We may not like facing these certain things that we've thought this certain way in this certain pattern all our life. And hey, it's time to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. See? Now, your spirit's born again, but the mind needs to be renewed and changed in the spirit of our mind. We don't want to let the dominant spirit of our mind be a demon. We don't want to let the dominant spirit of our mind be an old attraction that we had for so long and we keep going back to. An old ungodly song, they go back and do it again. I mean, really? Why do we do that? People do that. And we don't want to do that. We want to grow into him and grow up into Christ, as it says, and laying aside the things that hold us back, growing up into Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, Ephesians 4, verse 13. Unto a perfect man. What does that mean, perfect man? That means a mature man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. See, this is our goal. This is our goal, to grow up into Christ. That's why we need to avoid these old attractions by the power of the Spirit of God. We need to walk in the light and stay out of the dark. Don't let the dark creep into our lives. It's so easy for that old attraction to cause the dark to creep in. And then before long, we're walking in a measure of deception. And we want to, you know, we think we're right when everybody around us can see we're not right. And yet you can't tell. Nobody can tell you that. Really? Why would you want to let yourself come into that kind of position of darkness? Where you're walking in a measure of darkness, yeah, you have light, you're still born again, but nobody can tell you about how you've let that darkness in, what you're doing now, where you've gone from where you've been in Christ. Don't let the devil steal it away. Don't let the law of old attractions rise up and have a dominant place in your life. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the word of God today. Thank you, Lord, that we have brought forth some important truths by the Spirit of God, by the anointing. I sense the anointing on me now. I sense your Spirit has risen up and spoken what he wants to say through this human vessel that's certainly not a perfect vessel as far as getting every word out just right. But, hey, I just sense the anointing. I thank you that you're working through me. And thank you for speaking to your people that you love so much. And thank you for bringing them into glorious place of correction and growth. And you don't do it out of meanness. You do it in love. And you do it, Lord, to change us so that we don't continue to consume ourselves and let ourselves be consumed by demons and old attractions in our life. And that we can stay in the light, Father, all the days of our life. That's what we desire, to stay in the light and not be, let this encroaching darkness just come in and cover us, Lord. We don't want that. We don't want that. We don't desire that. We desire to stay in the light all the days of our life, Father, and get brighter and brighter until that full day, like you told us it would be. That's the way a Christian should be. So, Father, we praise you for doing that work in us. We praise you, Lord, for bringing those old attractions to light so that we could see them dealt with by the fire of God, the Spirit of God working through us to consume them and remove them, whichever way is necessary for them to be gone, whether it be a casting out, whether it be a getting out of agreement, whether it's just simply being a recognition of what it is and saying, no more, Lord, no more. We just smite this thing in Jesus' name. We reject it. We spit it out. And no more in our lives. But we accept that. Father, we praise you for however you're going to do it, Lord. But we submit it to you. And we say, Lord, expose those attractions in our lives, Father. From this day forward, let the exposing process begin. If we haven't seen it already, we will see it. And we will just receive the dealings of the Spirit and the cutting off of these old attractions and voiding them out by the power of your Spirit working in us, whether it takes deliverance or however the process, or just burning it out by the fire of God, however you're going to do this, Lord, we thank you. It's going to be done because we're not in agreement with that old attraction any longer. We're not in agreement with darkness. We're in agreement with the light. And let the light shine, Father. Hallelujah. Let it shine in all of us, brighter and brighter until that full day. Until that full day. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, folks, there it is. The message for tonight. We're going to do some deliverance in a moment when we come back after this little intermission here. We'll come back and we'll do some ministry time. And then we will say goodnight. But amen. I hope you heard what was said by the Spirit tonight. The joy that I Amen, amen. Some of you were picked on in school. Some of you were bullied. Some of you were made fun of. And you carried that in through your whole life. And we just rebuked that spirit that came in through the being picked on in school, being mocked, being made fun of for some reason or another. You were called big ears or big nose or skinny or fatso or all kinds of different things that you might have been called in school, or they made fun of your name. We rebuked those spirits that came in through that, and some of them formed an attraction point that you kept going back to, feeling like you rejected or unwanted. We rebuked that. You come out of there right now. Come out. All that spirit that came in back in school, you were in elementary school, high school, junior high, and these spirits came in through other people's mistreatment. We command those spirits of mistreatment. They come out right now. Come out, 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 come out. You still hear those words sometimes. That's a demon. What do you think happened back then? Why do you think it happened? The devil set you up to pick up a spirit or a number of spirits. What do you think was really going on there? Why do you think that they pick on kids? Why do you think other children pick on other children? Their spirits activating and getting into people's lives. Come out of there. Come out of there right now. Come out in the name of Jesus right now. Go all the way out. Come 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 all the way out right now. I bind it. All that mockery spirit, the mocking, come out in Jesus' name. Being mocked over this, that, or the other. Come on, all the way out. All that mockery, being mocked, all that rejection, feeling like there's something wrong with you because you were picked on and they told you this about your anatomy. Come out, in Jesus' name. Come out, all the way out of there. Go, in Jesus' name, right now. Loose them and let them go. Come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come on, all that rejection by others, that rejection causing you to feel rejected as well. You come out of there. Go in the name of Jesus right now. Loose them and let them go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All that self-rejection over being picked on and being treated that way, mistreatment, you spirit of mistreatment. Come out, 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 come out. Come out in Jesus' name. We break the curse of those words that were spoken over you by somebody. Come out, even about teachers maybe. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Words that called you, that there was no hope for you. Maybe someone said, well, you'll never change. You'll never be right. You'll always fail at this. Come out. We break the curses of those words. We break those attachments over your life. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. In the name of Jesus, right now. All the way out. Come out. Come out. Come on. All the way out. All that spirit of fat lips or whatever they might have spoken over you, we break the curses of that. Come out in the name of Jesus. But it made you self-conscious, and a spirit come in to make you self-conscious even to this day. Come out all the way out. Come out of there right now. Go in Jesus' name. I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. The blood of Jesus is against you right now. Come out. 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 Come out, all that old, we just break those old attraction of sexual attraction, those old attraction with people. We break those soul ties in Jesus' name. When you think of their name, but we command that soul tie to be broken. We call that soul tie broken with Paul, with Sarah, with Jeannie, or whatever their name was. We cut that soul tie in Jesus' name, that old attraction that keeps coming up. Certain song on the radio you listen to or here in a store or something just activates that old attraction, that old soul tie. We cut it off right now. We cut those soul ties in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out of there right now in the name of Jesus. We void that law of old attraction there. Come out. 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 You say their name. You know it is. Come out. All the way out. Go in Jesus' name. We cancel that attraction point. We cancel that soul tie. We cancel it and cut it and sever it and break it off of you. Come out of you all the way out. Come out. No more attraction point. In Jesus' name, that old fear attraction, that attraction to getting into worry and fear where you used to always worry before you were Christian, now you carried it on in. That still has the attraction point for you. We command it to go right now all the way out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. We void that law of old attraction. We void that old attraction. Come out. That worrying and fear mentality, that worrying and fear attraction point that keeps rising up again. Just have to have the right set of circumstances, the right, you hear the right thing, and boy, it gets activated. Come out. All the way out. Up and out. Up and out. Up and out. Come 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 out in Jesus' name. Come out. All the way out, up and out, come out, come out, come out. In the name of Jesus, we break your hold, we break your control, we break that attraction point. Come out, 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 come out. In Jesus' name, you think that it's any, you think it's any coincidence that certain things happen when you go certain places that activate the old attraction? You think that the devil didn't have that song ready to play when you came in the store or when you turned the channel on your radio? You just happened to turn it. Why'd you turn it? You ever think about why you turn it to something and then you hear something that activates something in your life? You ever think that you might be just looking at the computer and the devil has this certain pictures come your way that you just activate that lust spirit, that porno spirit too in your life, that masturbation? We just break that. In Jesus' name, we break the power of these attraction points. You come out of there right now. Come out of there. They don't have to get you. They don't have to take you down. They don't have to take you into sin. Come out of there all the way out. They can be gone in Jesus' name. Come out. 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 Come out of there in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Let me know that the people say words sometimes that trigger an attraction too, you know, that people say things and they don't just say it for no reason. There's a spiritual influence going on here. And if someone says something, it activates an old attraction in you, an old attraction of rejection, an old attraction of not worthy or not good enough or, you know, different things get activated, see, when they say something. And you just hear it and boom, there it goes, man. You go off, see. And that old attraction of, oh, that I'm not good enough. People won't like me. People don't think well of me. And I've got these problems. And you start going into that, see? We bind that old attraction of less than, feeling less than others, come out, all the way out, all that self-rejection and feeling less than other people, come out. You come out of there in the name of Jesus right now. Go, go, move, out of there. All the way out. Keep coming out. In the name of Jesus, we void that attraction point. Come out. In Jesus' name, come out right now. Come out. Come out. All that old rejection, self-rejection, and not good enough, and not as good as others, and I'm less than others. Come out. That spirit of less than others. Come out. 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 Feeling that you're less than others. Come out. In Jesus' name. All the way out. I'm not good at so-and-so. God has, they're closer to God than I am. That God wouldn't have the closest with me that they have. I'm not worthy of that. Oh, come out of it. That's a lie. We're all equally worthy. God made us worthy by the blood of Jesus. So that's a religious lie, a religious spirit, and a religious attachment, a religious old attraction point. Come out. All that old religious attraction point. Come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come on. All that religious spirit that tells you you're less than, that you're not good enough, you haven't done enough good, you're just failing at being a Christian so badly that surely God not have much to do with you, you worthless thing, you. Come out, all the way out. That's a lying devil of religion. Come out, come out. That old attraction of religion kicks in. It was there in the childhood for some people, and it's still there today, or it was there when they were in a legalistic church, and it's still there today. Come out. Come out. That old attraction of religion. Come out. 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 Every one of you, go. Move in Jesus' name. Move in the name of Jesus. All of those attractions. Come out. All the way out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way. The blood of Jesus. Keep going. Come on. Everybody take a few calls. Get them moving. All the way out. Let them go. Up and out. Take a few deep breaths. Get those spirits out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Those old attractions. Come out. Come out. My daddy wanted a boy, and I'm a girl. Come out. My daddy wanted a girl, and I'm a boy. Come on. All that tomboy spirit. You tried to be a boy because your daddy wanted a boy, and you were a girl. And you felt rejected all your life and tried to be a tomboy, or you tried to be this, and a man spirit, you took on a masculinity spirit, come out, come out, come out, all the way out. We break that attraction point. We just commanded to go. We void that out. In Jesus' name, you are, God made you a woman. You're born a woman, and God made you a woman, and that's what you are. You just rejoice in that. Doesn't matter what demons your daddy had or your mama had that wanted a boy or whatever. We rebuke those spirits right now. Come out, come out, come out. That rejection by sex, by, well, I wasn't born what my parents wanted me to be. Come out, all the way out. All that rejection of being born something different than you thought they wanted. Come out, and you heard them talking about it or something. Come out, some aunt told you that or somebody told you, and then, man, it just worked that rejection. That was an old attraction that came in and has been with you ever since, always feeling like you're the second because you weren't born what they wanted. Come out. Their parents always rejected you because you weren't born what they wanted. Come out. 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 All the way out. Go in the name of Jesus. Move right now. Come out of there. Come out of there. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out. Up and out of there. Go. 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 Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Keep coming out of there. Up and out. Keep moving. All those spirits, all the way, come out. In Jesus' name, tomboy spirit, man spirit, masculine spirit, a woman took it on. If you're a woman and they wanted a man, come out. A boy, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. And vice versa, come out of the men, come out. If the parents wanted a girl, come out. All the way out. Go, go, go. We break that. It's more predominant with women, though, this one. Come out, come out, come out. Come on, all the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out. And that jealousy spirit, yeah, you were jealous of your brother or your sister. You were jealous of somebody else. And still that old attraction remains, and it sometimes kicks in. You get jealous, and come out of it. All that jealousy, we break that old attraction point of jealousy. Come out. Come out now. Come out. Come out, envy, jealousy, come on, all the way, come out, come out. We break that in Jesus' name. We break the power of that spirit working in you. No more, come out in Jesus' name, come out in Jesus' name, come out. All that jealousy spirit, all the way out. Jealous of your brother, jealous of your sister, jealous of some other relative, jealous of somebody in churches. Or come out, all that jealousy, come out, come out. Jealous of somebody at work, come out. Come on, all jealousy, come out, 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 come on, all the way out, all the way, yeah, all the way up out of there. Go in the name of Jesus right now. Up and out, up and out, up and out, all the way out, all the way up out of there. Go in the name of Jesus right now. Jealous of their figures because, oh, they were slim and sharp and good looking and you thought you wasn't. The devil told you, see, you're ugly. As ugly people pick up them ugly spirits, somebody at school called you ugly and you think you're ugly. We bind that ugly spirit, that old attraction to that ugliness. You come out of there right now. In Jesus' name. Come out, ugly spirit. Come out. Come out. Telling you you're ugly. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. We void that attraction. Come out. Come out. That ugly spirit that you're inept or that you're not smart as the others. Come out. All the way out. Come out. Come out. All that spirit, the old attraction point. Ugly, uneducated, foolish, dumb. Come out. All the way out. Go. Those spirits have to go. Come out. In Jesus' name, we address you in the name of Jesus. Come out. 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 Come out of there. All the way out. Some people might have told you you was beat with an ugly stick or something like that. That's a horrible thing to say to somebody. But see, people said that stuff. People said that stuff. You come out of it all the way out. Go in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out of it. All that ugliness. Go. 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 All that inferiority. We break the curse of inferiority. We break that attraction point. Always going back and feeling you're inferior. That inferior thinking. That inferior way of thinking about yourself. That come out. All the way out. Inferiority. Come out. Inferiority. Come out. 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 Come out in Jesus' name. The blood is against you. You're a liar. You're an old attraction point that needs to go right now. Come out. In the name of Jesus, inferiority, come out. Inferiority, come out. In Jesus' name, go, 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 go. Out, 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 out. All the way. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. All the way out. Come out. All that spirit, you have to loosen and let them go. You have to go. Inferiority. Second best, third best, whatever. Come out. You've got to go all the way out. All the way out. The Bible says we're accepted in the beloved. We're accepted in Christ. If we have his acceptance, we don't have to worry about what the world says. We don't have to worry about their acceptance. But see, those words hurt us before we knew how accepted we were in Christ. And therefore, there's an old attraction point there that has to go in Jesus' name. So get out of there right now. All that inferiority, all that feeling that you're less than. Come out. Keep going. All the way out. All the way out. No, you are special. You're special in the eyes of the Father. He's embracing you. He's received you. You're accepted in him. You're beloved of him. Hey, he has his blood. You have oneness with him. He has given you a position of royalty. Hallelujah. He put you up and said you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What a position of royalty we've been given. Thank you, Jesus. Now keep going. All these lies, all these spirits that have lied to you and become an attraction point, come out. All the way out. That you just got to have constant people with you all the time because you cannot be alone with yourself. It's too much for you. You can't handle it. Come out. All the way out. That spirit that lied to you. And tell you, you got to always have someone around, and therefore you try to keep some noise going or someone around all the time. That's a lying demon. You come out of there. You come out of there. Jesus went apart by himself and spent time with the Father. We need to all have that kind of relationship where we go apart from everything and everyone and get alone with the Father. Get alone with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Come out of there. Go. All that spirit. All that spirit of tension getting people around you constantly, come out, all the way out. Come out, in Jesus' name, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Keep coming out of there, up and out. The blood of Jesus is against you. Keep coming out, the blood, you have to go. Keep coming out, all the way out. We break the curse of feeling abandoned. So you got to always have someone around. Come out, that spirit of abandonment, you go. Come out, that spirit of rejection, you go. Come out, 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 come out. all the way out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. 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 Some people have been living and reliving a trauma, and that's an old attraction point, going back to a trauma that happened in their life. We command that spirit of trauma to come out. May have been a childhood trauma. May have been an accident. Somebody else died or got hurt, or maybe you did, and it was traumatic to you. A parent left another parent. There was a divorce, and it was a trauma. We command that trauma to go, that old attraction of the trauma, to reliving that feeling of the trauma and sensing that in your life for years. Come out right now. Go. All that trauma, come out. We break the curse of the trauma, and we command it to go. In the name of Jesus, come out of there, all the way out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way up out of there. Come out, trauma, come out, trauma, come out, trauma. We break the power of trauma. We break the control of trauma over your life. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, the blood of Jesus right now, the blood of Jesus against you, you have to go all the way out. Jesus' name. Well, Sean Fuchs, you've been going around the country holding these revivals. We're coming to Billings at 6:30 in South Park. So I'm going to go to that Sunday evening at 6:30 and check it out for myself. He's had miracles, signs and wonders, and people have been healed. And he's just defying the mask mandates and the social distancing and all of that. And he knows what's going on, and he's just going around the country. Keep on doing it. He's been fined. He's been jailed. He's been all these things. And he's just holding it. He's in Montana this Sunday, so. But go check him out Sunday evening if you're in Montana. Also, we want to pray and close the service now, the time together. Father, thank you for our deliverance. We ask you to seal this deliverance. And Father, bring change in people's lives for your glory. We thank you for what you're doing in each of us. We thank you for change. We thank you for loving us so much. If you don't leave us the same, you don't leave us the way you found us when you found us and came into our lives. And we praise you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you for working in us. Until the day you come back for us, a great and mighty work in us by your Spirit. We love you for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. All right, good night, folks. Love you. Well, God bless you, folks, and I appreciate you tuning in tonight to the program, and for your love and appreciate you. We'll talk to you later, and see you back, Lord willing, next week. Have a blessed weekend in Jesus' name. Bye-bye now.